Okay, we're on Dalet Amud Beis, near the end of the narrow lines, about four lines up. The narrow line says, "Amar Rabbi Yechanan." We'll pick up again with the last little bit that we read last week. The Amar Rabbi Yechanan, "Ezeh hu ben Olam Haba." Rabbi Yechanan said, "What does it take to get to Olam Haba? Zeh Asemich Geula L'Tefila Shel Arves." If one puts the bracha of Geula, that's called Yisrael, next to Tefila, Shemoneh Esrei. Even at night, that's terrific. For that, he becomes a Ben Olam Haba. So last week, we saw Rabbeinu Yoina, two explanations of Derech Mussar, what's so great about it, why he describes it as being a Ben Olam Haba. But Achaparim, we see that Rabbi Yechanan's opinion is that one should be Semech Gula Letfila, not only by Shachris, but also by Arvis. Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi Omer. Rabbi Shimon Levi says, "Tfilos be'emtza tiknum," that they were masakin the tfilos in the middle. Now this is a little bit tricky. What he means? He's coming to argue on what we just heard from Rabbi Yechanan, and he means to say that it's true that there's a concept of smichas gula tfilos. You say kriyas shema after shema es, right? But it's only true by shachris, and it's not true by arvis. By arvis, you say shema es, right? And then kriyas shema. And the way he expresses that is, because tefilos be'emsa tiknum, they were mistaken to put the tefilos in the middle. Meaning, you use your Kriya Shema as your sandwich, as the bookends of your prayers. So you start your day with Kriya Shema, that's Kriya Shema of Shachris. And then you daven all the Shema Nesreis, the Shema Nesrei of Shachris, the Shema Nesrei of Mincha, the Shema Nesrei of Mariv, and followed by that is the last Kriya Shema. So that all three Shema Nesreis come between the two Kriya Shemas. So the Kriya Shemas are the bookends, and that's the Inyan of Tfilos Be'emsa Tiknum, which means, bottom line, according to Rabbi Shimon Levi,
not the Shema Nesrei of Mariv.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean from the night before?
No. Rabbi Shimon Levi is disagreeing. This is not the way we daven.
Oh, okay, fine.
Shimon Levi is saying that by Mariv, you daven Shemayna Esrei, and then after it's Kriya Shema.
Okay, fine.
So what comes out bottom line is that...
But he had a point. Why isn't it from the Mariv before? How we start the day.
So I think because the part of Kriya Shema says, B'shachacha uvkumecha. So... No, I'm sorry. Whoa. No, that was not a good answer. Adrava. That would support your kasha. That's a good taina. That this tefillah is be'emtza tiknum. It's only be'emtza if you go from the morning to the night time. Rabbi Shimon Levi is calling it be'emtza, going from the morning to the night time.
Tefillah is against karbonos. By the day.
That's true. That curve by Kachem, the Lila Telech Acharayon. Maybe that's the answer. Interesting. That's nice, Ara. Okay. So what we have is Machlokes, Rabbi Yechanan and Shimon Levi, about how we daven Mariv. Rabbi Yechanan says, the minhag that we're familiar with, Kriya Shema and then Shemayna Esrei, and that's called Smichas Gula L'Tfila. And that's where Rabbi Yechanan emphasized that the Ben Olam Haba is he who is Semech Gula Tefila even by Mariv. And Rabbi Shimon Levi says no, that you only Semech Gula Tefila by Shachris, but by Mariv you reverse the order so that the three Shema and Esrei of your day are all between your morning and evening Kriya Shema. So what are they arguing about? Why does each one say what he says? The Gemara says we have two possibilities. If you want, I could tell you that it's based on Pesukim. And if you want, I can tell you that it's based on Svara. I'll start with the Svara. I could tell you that it's based on Svara. Rabbi Yechanan Svara. Rabbi Yechanan holds Geula Mi'urta Nami Havi, that there was a Geula, meaning by Yitzias Mitzrayim, at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, there was a Geula at night also. It was not just a morning affair. It was the Yitzias Mitzrayim. There was a chelik of Yitzias Mitzrayim that took place at night. El gulam al yisulei havi el atzafra. The prime geula was in the morning, but there was still somewhat of a geula at night, and therefore at night also there's an inyan of smichas geula tefila. Rabbi Shimon Levi holds kivul lehavi al mitzafra. That since no, the prime geula was only in the morning. Lehavi gulam al yisab. So what we have at night is not considered a good enough geula, so it doesn't merit this halacha of Smichas Gula L'Tfila. Now, what are they talking about? The main gula was in the morning, there was a minor gula at night. So you see there's over the word Me'urta on the first wide line, first medium line. Over that word Me'urta, there's a little disc which refers you to the Gilyan HaShas of Rabbi Kiva Eger. And he simply says to see the Gemara on Daf Tes. So on Testament Aleph, near the bottom of the page, says Amram Abba, Hakol Moedim, Kishan, it's about 10 lines or 12 lines from the bottom. It says, Amar Abba, Hakol Moedim, Kishan Niglu Yisomim Yisomim Niglu Elaba Erev. Everyone agrees. Now, over there, was talking about the Machlaikis, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Akiva about the Zman of the Karban Pesach. That's not our Inyan. That, I'm just telling you that that's what the Hakol Moedim is about. Everyone agrees, Kishan Niglu Yisomim Yisomim Niglu Elaba Erev, that the Geula was in the nighttime. Shenemar Siachasham Lakacham Yisomim Laila. Ukishayatsu, but the yitzia, the actual departure, layatsu el biyoyim, shenemim rachas apasach yasu minis al biyadrama. Just that line, those two lines, that's what Rabbi Kiva Eger wants us to see. That the Gemara over there tells us that the timeline was that they were set free at night and they actually departed in the morning. And our Gemara is referring to those two things and saying that the main geula is the departure. And therefore, the main gula is the morning, and in the morning, everyone agrees they need smichas gula l'tefila. The evening, where they got the permission to leave, that's what the Gemara and Daf Test calls the gula, they were nigulu, that means they got the permission to leave. So the permission to leave is not the gula ma'al yasa. It's a partial gula, a lower level gula. And so there's a machlaik, the v'yechen rosh lakshu, v'yechen, and says, okay, it's a lower level gula, but it's still worth something, so let's be smichas gula l'tefila. And Rabbi Shimon Levi says, no, since it's not really such a valuable geula, you don't have to bother with that one. An interesting ha'ara to note, we're not going to talk about it again at length, but last week we discussed the Stipulus Chakira about whether Smichas Geula Tefila is a din in geula or a din in tefila. And over here the Gemara says that they're considering whether the nighttime geula is a chash of a geula or it's not a chash of a geula. Rabbi Shimon Levi says, it's a junky geula. It doesn't need smichas geula to tefila. So that very much sounds like it's a din in the geula. If it's a din in the geula, so I understand that a chash of a geula would have this requirement, but a not so chash of a geula wouldn't have this requirement. If it's a din in the tefila, and the tefila of Arvis, we're not calling any less chash of than the tefila of Shacharis, at least not in the discussion in this Gemara. So why should the not being a gula ma'al yasa affect the requirement of smichas gula tefila? One can get out of it, but this is a mashmos. I would say from the Gemara, there's a mashmos to that side that it's a din in the gula. Okay, but the Gemara promised us another pshat, right? The Gemara said that ibar yisei makra and ibar yisei masvar. So we began with svar, but now the Gemara continues with ibar yisei makra. If you want, I can explain the machlek is based on a pasuk shnei mikra echad darshu. Both of them will be basing it on the same pasuk. Tichsev b'shach b'cha u'b'kumecha. The pasuk says b'shach b'cha u'b'kumecha, meaning there's a hekesh between the kriyash b'shal arvis of shach b'cha and the kriyash b'shal shachris of u'b'kumecha. So the question is, what is the hekesh coming to teach us? We learn something from the morning to the night. Which angle, which aspect of the morning kriyash b'cha do we extend to the night? Rabbi Yechanan, so Rabbi Yechanan hold. Makish shchiva l'kima. We compare one to the other. Ma kima, just like in the morning by the getting up time, kriyish b'makach tefila, right? We're semach gula l'tefila. So the order is first kriyish by then shmones, right? So af shchiva nami. So in the nighttime also, because of the hekish, we should say kriyish b'makach tefila. But Rabbi Shimon Levi says, Rabbi Shimon Levi holds no. Makish shchiva l'kima. I agree that we make the hekish, but the way what we take out of that hekish is that ma kima. Kriyashma samach lemitasai, just like by Kriyashma, just like by the morning rather, the Kriyashma is closer to the time spent in bed. You wake up in the morning, and the first thing you do is say Kriyashma before you daven Shemayin Esrei. So the Kriyashma is closer to the bed. Afshchivanami Kriyashma samach lemitasai. So to at night, the Kriyashma should be closer to the bed. To the bedtime, and in the nighttime, that means later rather than earlier. So the Rabbi Shimon Levi says that the Kriya Shema should dafka be after the tefillah of the Shemayna Esrei. So the Gemara has these two explanations: Ibar Yisei Makra, Ibar Yisei Masvara. The Pnei Yeshua has a ha'ara that the Gemara says Ibar Yisei Makra, as if they're learning from Psukim. Rabbi Yechon is learning from a pasuk that we should be semach gula tefila be'erev, and Rabbi Shuman Levi is learning from a pasuk that we should say kriyishma after Shemayin Esrei be'erev. Pleishua says none of this could really be. You can't seriously be saying that we're learning it from Psukim because these are not dinim deraisa. The halach of tefila is not deraisa. I mean, this is machlekes. Some Rishonim hold there's no mitzvah tefila deraisa altogether. But even the Rambam, who holds that there is a mitzvah tefila deraisa. But it's not deraisa to daven three times a day, shachas, mincha, and maariv. So there's certainly no din deraisa of smichas gula l'tfila be'erev. This question about whether smichas gula l'tfila be'erev is you should be krishma or then maariv, then shmanesu or shmanesu and then maariv. That's definitely a din derabanan. So what does the Gemara mean when it says that it may be based on a pasuk? So the Pnei Yeshua says it's a very interesting idea, and he says that he really elaborated on this idea back on Daf Beis, and here he's just referencing it again. I didn't see the piece on Daf Beis. But he says that there is a machlekes deraisa that underpins this halacha derabanan of smichas gula l'tfila. And that is, within Kriyashma Shel Arvis, where you have a nice long zman, there's a number of hours, it starts at Tzitzik Kachavim, we learn in the Mishnah Daf Beis, and it continues all night long. So what's the best time to say Kriya Shema? Should you do it at the beginning of the Zman or closer to the end of the Zman? And the general, you know, your assumption would be by most mitzvahs, the best time is the beginning of the Zman. It's Zrizim Makdim in the mitzvahs. Like you do a Mila is any time during the day, but you should do it at the beginning of the day because of Zrizim Makdim in the mitzvahs. So Kriya Shema, also Kriya Shema Shal Shachris, you have 3 hours to do it, but you're not supposed to wait till the end of the 3 hours. It's Rizim Akdim and Lemitzvahs. The earlier you do it, the better. What about by Kriya Shema Shel Arvis? Is there an inyan on a deraisa level that, forget about where it is relative to tefillah, but just in performing the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, is there an inyan of Rizim Akdim and Lemitzvahs that you should do it as close as possible to Tzeitzik HaChavim? That's Rabbi Yechanan's opinion. He's Makish Shchiva Lekima, Makima. We say that it should be the first thing you do when you get up. So to Shechiva, it should be the first thing that you do because the reason makdim lemitzvahs. But Rabbi Shimon Levi says no. Makas Shechiva lekima, makima. There's a benefit in it being as early as possible, and the benefit is because that makes it samach lemitasai. So to b'shechiva, it's samach lemitasai. So the mahudur diketaran to say Kriya Shema. Forget about Maariv. Let's say in the olden days, before there was any mitzvah of Maariv, when Moshe Rabbeinu brought the Torah and there was no mitzvah of davening Maariv, but there was a mitzvah of Kriya Shema, Rabbi Shimon Levi held that the most mahududik time to say Kriya Shema will be last thing you do before you go to sleep. Because that's samach l'mitasai. So then, generations later, after they were masakein, that we daven three times a day, and there's a tefillas arvis, and now we're discussing Kriya Shema and tefillah, which one should we do first, one should we do second? So that halacha drabanon is going to be affected by this shiloh deraisa. Rabbi Yechanan says that you should do the Kriya Shema before the tefillah, because he holds as an Indian of Zizim Akdim L'Mitzvahs on Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. So you should say Kriya Shema before your Shemayin Esrei. Rabbi Shimon Levi says that there's actually a maila of being ma'acher, a Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. Samach l'mitasai. He points out that we can't do a Samach l'mitasai mamish because, again, as the time went on, later generations, the Chama made all sorts of siyagim and fences, and they said you're not allowed to eat before you daven, you're not allowed to take a nap before you daven. So you can't really do it Samach l'mitasai, but still, within whatever wiggle room you have, you know, in conforming with all the Takanas Chachamim, the later the better. Within that wiggle room, the later the better, because the Iker Din Deraisa is Samach l'mitasai. So therefore, he says, Tefillah v'achar kach Kriya Shema. That's how the Pnei Yeshua says that the Ibai Yisei Makra has a place, even though we're talking over here about a Din Derabanan. Now, there's also a very nice Ha'ara here from the Prima Gadim points out. The Gemara has two Pshatim in Rabbi Shimon Levi. The Gemara calls it two Pshatim in the Machlaikis. But right, really what changes is, if we focus on Rabbi Shimon Levi who says that you're not saying with Gula Tefillah at night, according to the first Pshat, it's because it's not such a chashav of Gula. In the nighttime, they didn't really leave Mitzrayim, so that's not such a valuable bracha of Gula. According to the second Pshat, it's because of the Hekesh that teaches the Samach HaMitasai. So the Prima Gadim says, when Rabbi Shimon Levi said that you daven at my and by Marav Kriya Shema and then Shemayin Esrei. Did he mean Bedafka Kriya Shema and then Shemayin Esrei? I'm sorry, you're right. Right. Rabbi Shimon Levi, you said Shemayin Esrei and then Kriya Shema. Did he mean Bedafka? I want you to do the Shemayin Esrei before the Kriya Shema? Or did he just mean that you don't need to do the Shemayin Esrei before the Kriya Shema? I mean, he was going lafugi from Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon said you have to be Semech Lulu and Tefillah and do Kriya Shema and then Shemayin Esrei. And to that he was saying, no, you can do it however you want without any kapeda. Now, of course, the lashon, the words of Rabbi Shimon Levi, Tefillah's be'em tzatiknum sound very much the first way, that it was bedafka. But that notwithstanding, the Prima Gadim says that this question is really the nafkamina between the two Lashonis. According to the second Lashon, that Rabbi Shimon Levi's reason is because the Hekesh teaches me, Makim v'samach v'mitasai, Avshchi v'samach v'mitasai, so there's a din of samach v'mitasai. That means the later the better. So first you daven Shemayin Esrei, and then you say Kriya Shema. But according to the first Lashon, the Ibayisem is Svara, that Rabbi Shimon Levi's reason is because the nighttime Geula was not a Geula Ma'al Yisah. So it doesn't need a din of Smichas Geula Tefillah. There's a Ma'ilah of Smichas Geula Tefillah, but since this is not a Geula Ma'al Yisah, so why bother? So that very much sounds like it's just do whatever you want. I'm not going to impose a halacha of Smichas Geula Tefillah, so you're left with the liberty, if you'd like, of davening your Shemayin Esrei before your Kriya Shema. But he doesn't have a preference, Dafka, that you daven your Shemayin Esrei before your Kriya Shema. Hashem can, in the Ibayisei Makra, it's very much a preference, it's a hakpada. Right. So the Prima Gadim says that's an afkamina between the two Lashonis and the Gemara.
Where's the Prima Gadim?
In the Sefer, thanks for asking, it's not in the Sefer Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim has a Sefer on Gemara called Rosh Yosef. Yeah. So in the Rosh Yosef on this Gemara.
When was the Prima Gadim?
Huh?
When did he live?
Late 1700s. I don't know if he lived into the 1800s. Maybe. I think he was a Talmud of Rabbi Shulam Igra. Yeah, that probably means he lived into the 1800s. I think he was a Talmud of Rabbi Shulam Igra. He was Nifter in 1809. So, yeah, the Stavra is that he lived in the 1800s. But I don't really know when he died. Okay, Zokti Gemar Vaita. Masav Marbury Dravina. Marbury Ravina asks a kasha. This is a kasha on what we learned from Rabbi Yechanan, and the Gemara said that the Brisa supports Rabbi Yechanan. It sounds like we're accepting Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan said he's supposed to be Semach Gula Tefillah. Marbury Ravina says, I don't understand how he could say that. There's a Mishnah coming up later in this parak, and everyone knows this Mishnah, even if you don't actually know the Mishnah, but this Mishnah is just a description of our Siddur. And what does the Tefillas Arvis look like in a Siddur? So the Mishnah says, Ba'erev, in the evening, Mevarech Shtayim Lefaneha, U'Shtayim Lachareha. The Mishnah begins that B'Shachar, you Mevarech Shtayim Lefaneha, V'Achas Lachareha. That before you say Kriya Shema in the morning, you say two brachas before, that's the Yetzer Ar and Abba Rabba, and one bracha after, that's the bracha of Gal Yisrael. But Ba'erev, in the evening, there's two brachas before, that's Amar Avaravim and Avas Haylam. And two brachas after. That's the bracha of Gal Yisrael and the bracha of Hashkivenu. So the Mishnah throws in this Hashkivenu thing. V'yamrit bari lismach, if Rabbi Yechanan is right, that there's a smichas gula l'tefillah even in the evening, halakha samach gula l'tefillah. We're not. We're nobody's being samach gula l'tefillah, da bari l'mema Hashkivenu. Because we have to say Hashkivenu. Everyone says Hashkivenu at night, and Hashkivenu is mafsik between the gula and the tefillah. So even if we follow Rabbi Yechanan's instructions and we say our Kriya Shema before Shemayin Esrei, we're still not accomplishing what Rabbi Yechanan wanted to become a Ben Olam Haba, to be Semach Gula Tefillah, because we have this foreign bracha that gets stuck between Gula and Tefillah called Hashkivenu. So the Gemara answers, Amri, we could say, Kivan Tzkinu Rabbanan Hashkivenu, if the Rabbanu Masakin, they told us to put it there, Kugula Arach Tadamya. That makes it like part of the Gula. The Gula begins with the bracha of Gal Yisrael, but it continues with the bracha of Hashkivenu. It's all one thing. It's part of that's considered a Gula. And so if you go from Hashkivenu into Shemayin Esrei, you're still going directly from Gula to Tefillah. The Loite Mahachi, if you don't say this, in other words, I'll prove to you that when we talk about Smichas Gula Tefillah, we're a little flexible. We don't mean very strictly the bracha of Gula with the bracha of Shemayin Esrei. We could have some foreign material that we could attach to one or the other and say, yeah, that's part of it. We could attach Hashkivenu to Gal Yisrael and say that's all part of Geula. How could I prove that to you? Because if you don't say this, Shachris Heichim Atzi Samach. What are you going to do about Shachris? Ha'am Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan said that B'tchilo Oymer Hashem Tzvah Tiftach L'B'Seifu Oymer Yiyu Lotzen Imrei Fi. Rabbi Yechanan taught us, and this is the main Gemara is on Daf Tes, that you're supposed to say a pasuk before you begin Shemayin Esrei. Now, Rabbi Yechanan mentions two pasukim, one before Shemayin Esrei, one after Shemayin Esrei. But the interest of our Gemara is in the first pasuk. Rabbi Yechanan said that before you start Shemayin Esrei, you're supposed to say Hashem Tzvah Tiftach Ufi Agit Hilasecha. Now, that pasuk we could call foreign material that's being mafsik between the Gula and the Tvila. So Elo, but rather, what are you going to have to say to avoid this kasha? Hasam over there, Kimi Tzkin Rabban Lameim, Hashem Tzvah Tiftach, since the Chacham said you should say it, so it acts like it becomes part of the Shemayin Esrei, and it's like just a longer Shemayin Esrei. So that's not coming between Gula and the Shemayin Esrei. That is already the Shemayin Esrei. So here too, we could say a similar story. Since the Rabbanon when we're sakin to say Hashkivenu, Sukagula Rechadamia, that's not coming between Gula and Shemayin Esrei. That's all part of the Gula. Part of the Gula Rechadam, the longer Gula. And so we're in this expanded sense. When we take this expanded view of the of Gula, we're still being same with Gula and Tefillah. So,
based on this again, when we say Baruch Shem Lo'olam,
yeah.
When did that clearly?
That's our next discussion. We're in just 2 minutes for a different discussion, and then the rest of the shiur is going to be about Baruch Shem Lo'olam. But before that, just one short ha'ari. You see, it says on the side of the page in the margin. It says. And the words of Rabbi Yechanan over here that you say Hashem Tzvah Tiftach, it says L'kamet Hesam Ebeiz V'ayin Mar Shosham. Actually, it's a very interesting ha'ara. If you take a look in the Gemara that Hesam Ebeiz, the Gemara Hesam Ebeiz, that Amud, similar to the Amud that we're on now, has three types of lines, right? There's the small lines, the medium lines, and the large lines. So if you take a look at the last medium line, no, okay, actually go two lines up from there. Because earlier on the page it had said, it mentioned this Indian of Smichas Gula Tefillah. And the Gemara over there asks, how could anyone be Smichas Gula Tefillah? Right, the same question that our Gemara asks, that Pasuk of Hashem Tzvah Tiftach is always coming in between the Gal Yisrael and the Shemayin Esrei, so it always messes up your Smichas Gula Tefillah. So the Gemara over there makes a couple of other attempts. Amar Belazer, let's skip that. Then on the first wide line it says Ella Amar Belazer, and it says. Then finally at the end of the first wide line it says Rav Ashi Amar, Afil Deima Akulu, Vekivin De Kavua Rabbanan Betfila. Since the Rabbanan told you to say it there, Kitfila Rechadamia. That makes it just like a longer Shemayin Esrei. Diloy Teima Hachi. If you don't accept this teretz, then how could you be Mekayim Smichas Gula Tefillah by Ma'arav? You have a problem with Hashkivenu. Since the Rabbanu were Masakin, they told you to say Kegula Rechadamya. It's considered a Gula Rechadachinami. So to hear, Kivin de Kavur Rabbanu Betfillah Ketfillah Rechadamya. The Rabbanu told you to put it in Tishman Esrei. So it's considered a Tefillah Rechadam. So it's a very similar Gemara over here and over there, but you'll notice with one very striking discrepancy. In our Gemara, we use Hashem Tzvah Tiftach to prove the idea, and with that, we satisfied our kasha about Hashkivenu. Whereas in the Gemara on Daf Tes, we had a kasha about Hashem Tzvah Tiftach. We used the fact that we say Hashkivenu to satisfy our problem by Hashem Tzvah Tiftach. So that's the Marsha Tzara. The Marsha says that there's a reversal. But the Gemaras are quite similar, but in a way they're different. There's a reversal from one to the other. Which one is the proof text, and which one is what we're trying to prove? Which one is being used as a riot to the other? In one Gemara, it's from A we could prove B, and in the other Gemara, it's from B we could prove A. So Marsha he notes the kash. He doesn't make a big deal about it. He uses a lashon that, it's funny, he introduces the kash with the words Yesh Li Ashev. But Yishlasha usually means I have a teretz. But he doesn't tell it's a teretz. He just means to say, you need to work on this. Yishlasha, you need to work on the fact that on the Dalit it did it one way, and over here it's doing it in the opposite way. So the Har is a nice Ha'ara. I don't have a teretz, but I do have a thought on it that is maybe just a little bit helpful, a little clarifying. It's not just that they get reversed. So our Gemara is the opposite of the Gemara and Daf Tes. The way that it's presented in our Gemara makes a lot more sense. Meaning, because there is a difference between the two. Shachris is a given. By Shachris, everybody knows it's a din of smichas gula tefila. Arvis is debatable. Not so b'yechen and chiddush, and Shum and Levi argues. So in our Gemara, Marbe Dravina, he asks his kash from Hashkivenu. It wasn't stamakash. It was an attack on Rabbi Yechanan. It was putting Rabbi Yechanan on the defensive. Rabbi Yechanan gave a teretz, or the Gemara on Rabbi Yechanan's behalf, gave a teretz that's kagula rechnedamia. And then said, and I can prove this teretz because by Shachas they have the same problem. Meaning you're attacking Rabbi Yechanan because, okay, you know, he's maybe, you know, he said something that's debatable. He's in a vulnerable position. But we all could agree about Shachris. Over there, nobody denies that you need smichas gula tefillah. And since you need to come on to tefillah arich tadamiyah to explain Shachris, so I could use that to defend Rabbi Yechanan by Marav also. So we understand in our Gemara that it used Shachris, or it used Hashem's Fasa Tiftach, to prove what it wanted to say about Hashkivenu and about Marav, because Hashkivenu is the one that's more debatable. So our Gemara is Nicha. The Gemara in Daf Tes is the one that's Shver. That the Gemara had a kash from Hashkivenu, and then the Gemara said, well, the answer is tefillah rechta, and I'll prove it to you, because if you don't like it, then what are you going to do with Hashkivenu? That's a proof. If I'm ready to discard the halach of smichas gula tefillah by Shachris, I'm more than happy to discard it by Marav. So how can you prove it to me by saying that otherwise I'll be in trouble with Marav also? So the Marshaz Ha'ara, that the two Gemaras are opposite from one another, so I'm just adding that one of them seems more right than the other. The way that our Gemara puts it makes a lot of sense. The way the Gemara on Daf Tes, which reverses it, that's the one that's Shver. So what does that do for us? I didn't answer the Stira, but what I did was that I got us a reprieve. That means that the right time to address it is on Daf Tes. So there you need a tarot. So we have some more time to think about it. Okay, so now we come...
Before the tangent, I know that Rav Yashu Berz, I don't know if it's Mesorah, his Talmidim say Hashem Sufsai more out loud, and certainly Yil Ratzon. And I know I didn't grow up that way. Is there a reason for...
Not familiar with it, but that's also Daf Tes Sugya, so we'll try to keep it in mind. Remind me when we get to that Gemara. I'll see what I could find. Okay, so now the big sugya here in the Rishonim, the big discussion in all of the Rishonim, is we have this Gemara that's talking about smichas gula tefillah. Rabbi Yechanan says, and the Gemara tells us that the Braisa supports Rabbi Yechanan. It sounds like we're passing like Rabbi Yechanan. That he's supposed to be smichas gula tefillah even by Maariv, and the Gemara raises the issue of Hashkivenu that seems to ruin our smichas gula tefillah. But the Gemara says, no, that's okay. Hashkivenu is okay because it's gula rechta. But we, when we open our siddur, we see we have much bigger problems than just Hashkivenu. With the whole Baruch Hashem L'Olam Amen V'Amen, with many, many psukim, it's the longest part of the whole Maariv, and it comes right there between the Gula Richta and Shemayin Esrei. What's that doing there? Why isn't that a violation of the rule of Smichas Gula L'Tfila? So that's the Kasha of Taisis. Taisis, take a look at Taisis, Damar V'Yechon Ezu Ben Olam Abba, he's coming to address how do you reconcile that with Rabbi Yechanan's teaching that he's supposed to be semech gula tefillah. But before we come to the kasha, since this is where all the Rishonim talk about this inyan, so let's first spend a little bit of time just trying to trace this minhag, figure out what it is, where it comes from, why they did it. So the first thing to be said is that it clearly is not from the Gemara. It does not seem, I guess we can't really know for sure if they did or didn't say it in the times of the Gemara, but there's no zecher to it in the times of the Gemara. We only know that they began saying it in the times of the Goyinim, meaning a long time ago, while the Yidden was still in Bavel, but in the times of the Goyinim, the minhag is recorded. And it was a strong minhag because it's brought down in Tosfos and all the Rishonim of Ashkenaz, and it's including Rashi. And it's also brought down in the Rishonim in Svar, the Ramban, the Rashba, others, they bring this down. So it was a very widespread minhag. I guess, you know, almost universal, at least that people heard of it. Again, we'll see that there were some Rishonim that chose not to follow it, but everybody knew of this minhag. This was the minhag ha'olam. It was a minhag ha'olam, but it seems to go against the Gemara. The Gemara said that we're supposed to be semach gula l'tefila, and we're going and stacking a whole bunch of paragraphs between the gula and the tefila. But but the minhag began. It seems to be traced back to the times of the Goyim. Why did they do it? So the explanation that we find in some of the Rishonim is that it had to do with the fact that once upon a time they didn't have shuls, and so at least they didn't have shuls during the week. They would just meet. They didn't even have street corners. So if they met at a corner, that means they were meeting in the sada, in the field. And that's no place to be in the nighttime, after dark, certainly not alone. So it seems, again, it's a little bit hard, for me at least, it's a little bit hard to figure out just what the Rishonim mean. But it seems that because people wouldn't want to be in the field alone, to be there with 10 people, that's okay. But you wouldn't want to be there alone. So, and again, particularly after Maariv, after Shachris, doesn't matter so much because it's daylight, but after Maariv, it's dark. So you don't want anyone to be left alone. So they want, you know, if everyone comes on time to shul, so everybody starts together, everybody ends together, and everybody goes home, goes back to the town together, then that's fine. But what if somebody comes late? If somebody comes late and he's going to be behind and he's going to finish later than everyone else, so then he's going to be walking home alone in the pitch black. So to combat that problem, they inserted Yurinenu. The Baruch Hashem La'olam, and this whole thing. So how exactly that helps, the way that it sounds in Tosfos is that this was just filler to make Maariv longer so that the latecomers could skip something. If you only had the parts that it says in the Mishnah to say, right, the Kriya Shema with two brachas before and two brachas after, so that's all mandatory. So if I come late and I'm 3 minutes behind, so I'm going to stay 3 minutes behind the whole time. But if everyone else is saying Baruch Hashem La'olam, because that's the minhag, you're supposed to say it, so whoever's there in shul, whoever's there on time and is davening with the sefer will say it. But if I come late, I could skip that because it's really not as important as the rest of the stuff. So that gives the latecomers a chance to catch up by having the on-time comers have something extra to say. So according to this version, who was saying the Baruch Hashem La'olam? Dafka, the people that came on time and not the latecomers. The way that the Rashba, say it, was that it was, again, it's the same idea. It's to help that everybody should be leaving shul at the same time, but it was for the latecomers and not for the on-timers. And the idea is that the latecomers would say it instead of Shemayne Esrei. If you came late, and if you're going to daven the whole Maariv, so you're going to be way behind, and you're going to be left davening there after everyone else leaves, so instead of Shemayne Esrei, you say these psukim. How are these psukim compensation for Shemayne Esrei? So the Rishonim will point out that if you count up these psukim, there are 18 mentions of Hashem's name, so that makes it correspond to 18 brachos, but it's not with the whole brachos, so it's much shorter. We wanted to have some semblance of a bracha, so therefore we added the paragraph of Yurinenu at the end, which ends with a bracha, bracha Hashem, yeah, something like that, right. So we have a bracha at the end, so we have 18 mentions of Hashem's name with a bracha at the end. That's some kind of a me'en of a Shemayne Esrei, and it's much shorter, and that way everybody can finish at the same time. So you have maybe two nuschois that it was inserted to help everybody finish at the same time so nobody's left in the field by themselves.
Similar to Friday night, though.
Right. The bracha of Me'en Sheva also has a similar history. Mr. Shem, when we get there, we'll maybe compare and contrast. There is a similar story behind that.
For Shemayne Esrei, we have two other options listed a little more later.
The Tfila Katsara? That's a good question.
Tfila,
right, there was, we talked about the Mandav Gimel. What was that? The Merubim Tzarchei Amcha, right? Tfila Katsara of Havinenu and Merubim Tzarchei Amcha. So why would they have made up this? Maybe it's right in between. The Tfila Katsara is not really short enough. And Rum Tzarchei Amcha doesn't really satisfy Shemayne Esrei. So this at least has the Yud Ches Haskaris. I don't know. That's a good Ha'ara. That's one story with sort of two versions. Let me add another version within that. Again, that which I said that the Rishonim say, the Rosh and the Rashba, they say that the latecomers would say this instead of the Shemayin Esrei. So the Rosh just says that. They said it instead of Shemayin Esrei. It has Yud Ches Haskaris and it has a Bracha. So it's not a perfect Shemayin Esrei, but you know, if you're in a pinch, that'll be your Shemayin Esrei. The Rashba writes, they would say that in the field so that they could finish with everyone else. And then when they would get home, they would say Shemayin Esrei. The Rashba doesn't say that. But the Rashba says it. But at any rate, all of these people are saying that this was once upon a time. This is not in the times of the Rishonim. When the Rishonim say, nowadays already we don't have this problem. Apparently in the times of the Rishonim already they were davening in shul. They didn't have this danger of being in the field by themselves. But that's the way it used to be done, and that's why they made this takana. And now we continue with this takana.
The danger was mezikim, right?
I didn't see that mentioned in the Rishonim in this sugya. I'm sure that is one of the things that they were afraid of, but I would imagine there were other things to be afraid of. Walking home in the pitch black, you could have listim, you could have chayes rois, and also you could have holes in the ground, pits. And so there could be a lot of dangers. The tour brings down from Ramanat Shugoyin. You also see something similar to this in Rabbeinu Yoina, a whole different story. They don't mention anything about that they davened in the fields and they were afraid that they wanted everybody to finish at the same time, so it would be dangerous. Their explanation is that Tzilas Arvus is a Rishus. And in a Rishus, there's room for shortcuts. You don't have to daven Shemayin Esrei, right? Now, we've mentioned this Gemara already a couple of times. It's still not. We're not off to the main sugya. We're not going into Tefillas Arvus Rishus, the Mishnah later in the Masechta. But one important clarification: when we say Tefillas Arvus Rishus, nowadays when we think of Tefillas Arvus, we think of a whole 10 or 15 page section in the Siddur, that's called Tefillas Arvus or Maariv. But most of that section or half of that section is Kriya Shema Berachai Seha. That's not what's meant when we say Tefillas Arvus Rishus. Tefillas Arvus Rishus means the Shemayin Esrei. The Kriya Shema, that's B'shach B'cha. That's a mitzvah de Raisa. The Birchas Kriya Shema is a Tekana D'Rabbanan. It's a full-fledged Tekana D'Rabbanan. No less effective at night than in the morning. So everyone has to say Kriya Shema. Everyone has to say the Brachas of Kriya Shema. Tefillas Arvus Rishus means, but you don't have to say Shemayin Esrei. So Rabbi Yoina and the Torah also brings this down from the Goinim that they said that the reason why they made up the Baruch Hashem La'olam Amen and the Yirei Neinu is because there were people that didn't want to daven Shemayin Esrei by Maariv. Meaning, not that they didn't want to come to Maariv, everybody had to come to Maariv. But they didn't want to stay for Shemayin Esrei because you had to come from Maariv for Kriya Shema B'Rech HaSeah, and then they wanted to leave. So for those people, they said, you know what, just stay a minute. We're going to say something that like resembles the Shemayin Esrei. It's going to have 18 Azkarites, and it's going to end with a Bracha, and that'll be in lieu of your Shemayin Esrei. And then you could go home. I'm mentioning two names. You can find this in Rabbeinu Yoina. You can also find it in the Torah B'Shem, the Goinim. The difference is that in Rabbeinu Yoina, the way it sounds is that was the minute. Because Tefillas Arvus is Rishus, so they, meaning Klal Yisrael, decided we don't want to say Shemayin Esrei, we're just going to say this mini thing instead of Shemayin Esrei. The way it's written in B'Shem Rav Nachman Goin is that within the tzibur, it was optional. So there were people that stayed and people that didn't stay. So they would say Baruch, at the end of Birchas Kriya Shema, they would say Baruch Hashem La'olam and Yirei Neinu, and that was, and then a Kaddish, and that Kaddish was meant as an announcement. Okay, you could go now. Whoever wants to leave could leave. Those that want to stay, we're going to have a Shemayin Esrei now. It's a very unfamiliar.
Weird.
To us, that's a very unfamiliar shul event. That there's an ending time. I mean, I'm thinking of on Leil Yom Kippur, right? Kol Nidrei Night. So you have what do we call it? The Shir HaYichud. That half the shul stays for and half doesn't. We finish Maariv, Gajantif, Whoever wants to leave could leave, but then we right away start the Shira Yichud. So the Rav Nachshon Goyin said that's what went on in this minhag, that they said Yireinenu for the people that wanted to leave, and then that was an indication that okay, those that want to go home, now's your chance. Now you could leave, and the rest of us are going to stay and continue davening, and we're going to daven Ma'ariv.
Why were they going home?
Because they don't want to stay for Shemoneh Esrei. It's just they didn't have to. Now, that Rabbi Yehuda says, of course, later on, Klal Yisrael accepted Arvis as a chayva, and nowadays you're not allowed to leave. So really, there's no need for this Baruch Hashem Lo'olam anymore. But a minig doesn't, you know, once a minig is, you know, we only add things to the siddur, we never take away. once a minig gets instituted, it stays. Mishnah Lezazim Im Kaima. So we still do it, even though it's really a relic. It's not really appropriate nowadays. The reason why they started to do it was for the days that they treated the Arvus as a Rishus, and again, as Rav Nachshon Goyin says, and some would stay and some wouldn't, so they did this for the people that were leaving.
I just don't understand why these people come. The Shema Yisrael doesn't require minyan. The only reason to come is for Tefillah B'Tzibur, because there is no Kedusha.
Baruch.
Mark says Baruch Hu, which I think is a fine answer, but I would say more. I would say, who knows Brichas Kriyashma by heart? People came, we don't have this music anymore, but back then, people came to Shul to hear the Shliach Tzibur Davin, because a lot of people didn't know it on their own.
That's why Bechazar is a shot.
Yeah, okay, so we have, I would say, you know, two main versions. It kind of breaks down into a Shtayim Shein Arbat, right? Meaning, we had those who Shein that say that it had to do with not wanting people to be left alone, but that broke down Tosis and the Rosh, kind of opposite versions of how to say that. Then there's those that explain that it's because Tfilas Arvus Rishus, and in that we have the two versions, is that they just said that and that's it, or half the people would do that and half the people would say for Shemayna Esrei. Okay, there's an altogether different explanation of this in Rashi, on if you turn to Daf Lamed Aleph. Now, I'm not sure if Rashi means to be saying that this is mamish a reason for this minhag, but Rashi mentions this minhag in a just a whole different context. The Gemara in Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, it's the beginning of the fifth parak. Right in the middle of, it might not be in that volume. I think that volume was just a 4 prakim. Yeah. Okay. Right in the middle of the Flamen Aleph, there's the two dots, and it says, Tanur Rabbanan. Ein einim l'spalel, lo yimiteich atzvus, lo yimiteich atzlus, lo yimiteich schoik, lo yimiteich sicha, lo yimiteich kalus roish, lo yimiteich dvarim betelem, el lo yimiteich simcha shel mitzvah. So the Brisa says that you can't have any kind of a wrong frame of mind when you start davening. You have to be in the right frame of mind. And what's the right frame of mind? Simcha shel mitzvah. So Rashi says, what's simcha shel mitzvah? Kegoin divrei tanchumen shel Torah. Kegoin samach gulas mitzrayim. If you daven Shemoneh Esrei right after gulas mitzrayim, that puts everybody into a good mood, right? Hamar rabbanu ben gizvei yam sof, the famous name. Right, the bracha that we say of Gal Yisrael, that's the Geshmak of bracha, talks about the glorious events that happen, that puts you into a good mood. That's Simcha Shel Mitzvah. That's an appropriate way to go into Shemoneh Esrei. That covers Shachris. Oy, or, Samoch le Tehillah le David. Next to Tehillah le David, Shehu Shel Shevach v'Tanchumen, Kegoyim Yitzein Yerei Av Yaseh, Shem Rei Shem Eskoli Havav. By Mincha, we daven Shemoneh Esrei after Ashrei. Who's not in a good mood after Ashrei? You say, you know, a pasuk like Hashem does the wishes of those that fear Him. You have a pasuk that Hashem guards those that love Him. So everybody's in a good mood when they daven Mincha of Shemoneh Esrei. Ukegoin mikrois hasdurais betfilas arvis. The psukim by Tefillas Arvus, ki lo yiteish Hashem es hamo yukayetzi behen. Those psukim are very gishmak psukim, at least some of them. They talk about Hashem's special shmir for Klal Yisrael. Hashem will never abandon the Jewish people. Lo yiteish Hashem hamo. So again, that creates the Simcha Shel Mitzvah. Now, I think maybe we have to add a little bit of a kash and teres into Rashi, that Rashi already said that by Shachris, you have Simcha Shel Mitzvah because of Smichas Gula Tefillah. I think Rashi was thinking that by Arvus, we don't have that because we said Ashkivenu. And even though I don't have a problem with smichas gula tefillah, that the Gemara already took care of, the Gemara on Daf Dalet and the Gemara on Daf Tes says that that's not a violation of smichas gula tefillah because it's the gula arichta, but it does kill the mood. If part of what we're supposed to get out of our smichas gula tefillah was that we're in a geshmak a simcha shel mitzvah, but Ashkiveinu is talking about the all sorts of dreadful things, lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, that's not simcha shel mitzvah. So Zot Rashi, after before Shemayin Esrei, we say this whole series of psukim, and that puts us back into the simcha shel mitzvah. It could be that Rashi means to be saying a new explanation in the. In the minhag of Baruch Hashem Al Elam Amen Yamein. One last, that's not really a new pshat again. So we have altogether maybe three pshatim, three main different pshatim. I think one, before we get to the actual kashas that the Rishonim asked from the sugya, but just on the background of the minhag, I think it's geshmak to mention that there's one more version of the minhag that we find. There's a tshuva in the Rashbash. I don't remember where I saw this report. Then somebody referenced the Tshuva in the Rashbash, but I went and looked it up inside. The Rashbash was a paisek, a Svardi paisek in the 1400s. He was the son of the Tashbetz. The Tashbetz was the paisek Adar, Talmid Talmidov of the Ran. And his son, the Rashbash, was also a chashuv, a paisek in Algeria. And he discusses a minhag that it says that in some of the eastern countries they would say the Baruch Hashem La'olam, but they would attach it to Hashkiveinu. What do I mean they would attach it? They would say Shmar Zaseinu Yenu Chaim Shalom Me'atav Yad Olam. And then they wouldn't say Baruch Hashem Shemar Amar Yisrael. They would leave out the chasim of that bracha, and they would go into Baruch Hashem La'olam, making it part of the body of the bracha of Hashkiveinu. And then they would continue till Yireinu, and they would end Baruch Hashem Malchuchayi Tamid Tamid, etc. That chasima would go back on the Hashkiveinu. And this minhag, it says that they
wouldn't say Gal Yisrael.
No, Gal Yisrael they did already. They said the Baruch of Gal Yisrael.
They wouldn't say the Baruch of.
They never said Shemar Amar Yisrael. They said the whole Hashkiveinu until the last line.
They wouldn't say
Shemar Amar Yisrael. And they never said Baruch of Shemar Amar Yisrael. Right. They skipped that. Why were they doing this? So I mentioned that, you know, the Rishonim and our Sugya are troubled by the kasha of this Baruch being a violation of Smichas Gula Tefillah. There's another kasha, which in our sugya they're not really so focused on, but it's also a violation of the Mishnah. The Mishnah Daf Yud Aleph says that there's two brachas after Kriyas Shel Arvis. Remember, Be'erev Mevarech, Shayim Lefanehu, Shtayim Lachareha. We went and we made a third bracha, and the Mishnah says there's two brachas. So in these Anshei HaMizrach decided that we're going to be masaking this by smushing these two together to make it all into one. So now our Marv still has Shtayim Lachareha. And he writes over there, again, the Shoyal who sent this to the Rashbash. The Rashbash doesn't like it. He says, I don't like this minhag. But the Shoyal says, when he's telling the credentials, that the minhag was presented to Rabbi Avram ben Harambam, and he praised it. That's who we have defending this minhag. Rabbi Avram ben Harambam seems to have been a supporter of this minhag. It's an alternative version. Again, it never became mainstream, but it's just interesting that's another version of the minhag that existed out there. Okay, so that's all. That's enough about the background of the minhag of Baruch Hashem La'olam. Now, the discussion of the Rishonim here in our sugya is that it seems to be a violation of the halacha of smichas gula l'tefillah. It says in our Gemara they have to be smichas gula l'tefillah. And the Gemara asked, Akasha, how can we even say Ashkiveinu? And the Gemara answered, oh, that's okay, that's a gula richta. But now you're coming in and adding a new thing, this Baruch Hashem La'olam, how could you justify that it's a violation of Smichas Gula Tefillah? So Taisis, we'll start with the Taisis. Taisis says, no big deal. I'll answer this the same way the Gemara answered the Ashkiveinu. Nire, hoyol v'tkinu l'rabbanon, the Rabbanon v'masakein, which Rabbanon over here, this doesn't come from the Gemara, this comes from the Gainim, but okay, they're also Rabbanon. Tayyav Tekinul Rabbanon, have the Kugula Richta. He said it's the same Teretz. Just like the Gemara said about Ashkiveinu, that's the Gula Richta, I'll say about Baruch Hashem La'olam, that's also a Gula Richta. Now, in the Taisus HaRosh, Taisus HaRosh brings down that while some of the Balei Taisus thought that you could say Gula Richta, he says, this is Dvarim She'im Behem Mamish. he says that's a meaningless answer. And that's very strong words. Like, it doesn't mean anything. What do you mean segula rechta? What's the Rosh's taina? That you can't just say it's segula rechta. The Gemara, when the Gemara said Hashivenu segula rechta, what it meant was in the Pasha Pshat, that geula is about saving. Geula means that, right, really it's about how Hashem saved us from Mitzrayim, right? It's about Yetzias Mitzrayim. At that time Hashem saved us. In the Baruch of Hashkivenu, we're also asking Hashem to save us. Not from Mitzrayim, but from other dangers. But it's a similar theme to the Baruch of Geula. If you take a look in Rabbeinu Yonah, we don't have time, but just the Ma'ar Makom, Rabbeinu Yonah actually connects it to Yetzias Mitzrayim also. He says that this really ties in to Yetzias Mitzrayim. But even without that, it definitely is a Geula-related theme. So what the Tzitzis Rosh means to be saying is that you can't just say, oh, it's a Geula Arichta, because you feel like it. There has to be a basis to it. The Gemara calls Hashkivenu a Geula Arichta because it's related to the Baruch of Gal Yisrael. But Baruch Hashem La'ilam is totally unrelated to the Baruch of Gal Yisrael. How can you call that a Geula Arichta? But Tzitzis, our Tzitzis, again, that's the Tzitzis Rosh, it's all Balei Tzitzis, but the Balei Tzitzis represented in our Tzitzis seem to have no problem with it. However, Tekinu L'Rabbanon, how about a Geula Arichta? What's really going on between these two, this machlaikis? I think there's two gersayis in the Gemara. Our gersay in the Gemara is kibun detekinu rabbanon hashkivenu kegula rechta damya. Since the rabbanu are masakin hashkivenu, it's like a long geula. We're missing a word. If you take a look in the Rif and the Rush goes with the Rif's gersa. If you take a look in the Rif, it's Kibun kinu rabbanan hashkivenu bigula kagula rechtadamya. The Rif sticks in it's since the rabbanan made this part of the geula, so we could consider it part of the geula. But in Tosfos, without that word bigula, right, the gears that we have, just kibun kinu rabbanan hashkivenu, the words of the Gemara really sound like it's all totally on that it's tikkun rabbanan. The way Tzitzis understood the words of the Gemara are that all it takes to call it a Geula Arichta is that it's a Tekana D'Rabbanan. So what does that mean? What it means is that Tzitzis understood that the Din they have to say with Geula Tefillah simply means that you can't go, you can't do your own thing between Gal Yisrael and Shemayna Esrei. It has to be just davening. How you daven, whatever davening you're supposed to say is okay. But you can't talk between Geula and Tefillah. That's the halach of Smichas Geula and Tefillah, that you can't talk between Gal Yisrael and Shemayna Esrei. When the Gemara asks, you're saying Hashkivenu, the Gemara's answer is, yeah, but the Rabbanan told you to say it. That's if you're not Geiris B'Geula, so the words are, Kimi Detekinu Rabbanan Hashkivenu, Kegula Rechadamya. Since the Rabbanan said to say it, so that makes it part of the Geula. So what does that mean? That if the Rabbanan said to say it, I'm not just saying it on my own, so you can't, that's not a violation of Smichas Geula Tefillah. It sounds like Smichas Geula Tefillah just means that you can't do talking, you can't say your own stuff or schmooze with your neighbor between Gal Yisrael and Shemayna Esrei. But as long as you're just saying things that you're supposed to say, that's okay. If that's what the Gemara meant, I mean, the Gemara wasn't claiming that Hashkivenu is thematically related to Geula. The Gemara is just saying that the Hashkivenu is acceptable because the Rabbanan said to say it. So Zaktesis, we could do that with Baruch Hashem La'olam also. It's a little bit of a stretch because it's not the Rabbanan of the Mishnah and the Gemara. It's the Rabbanan a little bit later, perhaps. But okay, but still, it's part of the Siddur now. It's part of the Seder at Tefillah of all of Klal Yisrael. We could say Tekinu Rabbanan Lameimar, so that's considered a Geula Rechta. So that's our thesis, but our thesis, I think, is a minority opinion. Our thesis holds that that's good enough. You don't have to make it related to the bracha of geula to call it geula rechta. All you need is that that you're saying it because you're supposed to say it, and that's enough to make it geula rechta. Now, if you take a look a little later in the thesis, I'm not going to read through the whole thing, but in the middle of the thesis, it says, "Umiu b'seder of Amram Piresh, Masha anu oimrim kaddish ben geula l'tfilas arvis l'shminan." Let's not read this far. I'll speak it outside the Padas Negea. In the Rosh, like I said, the Rosh doesn't like Tesis Pshat. The Tesis Rosh calls it Dvarim She'im Behem Mamish. So how does he answer the Kasha? That how do we justify saying all this foreign stuff between Shmaya, between Gula and Tefillah. He's supposed to be Samach Gula and Tefillah. So the Rosh says the answer is because Tefillah Sarvus is a Rishus. And if it's a Rishus, it doesn't matter so much. And therefore, we could violate the rule. Anachanami, we're not really being Samach Gula and Tefillah, but Tefillah Sarvus is a Rishus, so it's okay. Now, Tosfos, I wanted to read you a piece in Tosfos, but it got a little bit involved in something else. But Tosfos really objected to this idea. Tosfos says that if you're going to say that the question of Smichas Gula Tefillah Ba'arvis is totally on Tefillah Arvis Rishus, Tefillah Arvis Chayva, so then Rabbi Yechanan and Ar Sugyu, who said Tefillah Arvis Rishus, Rabbi Yechanan and Ar Sugyu, who said that you're supposed to be Smichas Gula Tefillah, would then be taking the position that Tefillah Arvis is a Chayva. But we don't pass them like that, and usually we pass them like Rabbi Yechanan. So Tosfos doesn't like this idea. But the way the Rosh takes care of that is by saying that it doesn't have to be totally 100%. If you hold Chayva, then you definitely can't stick anything in. If you hold Rishus, it can still be debatable whether, you know, if you hold Rishus, so there's more basis to be makel, but there could still be, you know, Rabbi Yechanan could still feel that you should try it, that there's an injury, even though it's a Rishus, but it could still be less chomer than by Shacharis, where it's a Chayva. So the Rosh, therefore, is happy relying on the idea that because Tefillah Arvis is Rishus, so there's wiggle room. What does that mean, there's wiggle room? Not that there's no Indian at all of Smichas Gula Tefillah. We are Smichas Gula Tefillah. But if we need to say something, we say something. So the Goyim had a need. Again, their need was because they didn't want people left in the field by themselves. They had to take care of that. They had to add Yuri Nenu to their Mariv. And then once they added it, so it stayed. So okay, it became part of the Siddur through this funny chain of events. Now it's already part of the Siddur. So that, even though it's a violation of Smichas Gula Tefillah, but it's okay, because we don't mind violating the rule if we have a good reason. But whenever you don't have a good reason, you should still abide by the rule. And you should be Smichas Gula Tefillah. So Zek the Rosh, don't, you know, when I say it doesn't matter because Tefillah Arvis Rishus, don't think I'm giving you permission to talk. The Rosh says, he says, nevertheless, you're not allowed to talk, even by Marav, between Gal Yisrael and Shemayin Esrei. But things that there's a good reason to say, and just have a kashi, needs to be a little tefillah. To that, the answer is tefillah Arvis Rishus. So that's the Rosh, and I think the Rashba also gives that answer. It's based on tefillah Arvis Rishus. In Shulchan Aruch, they bring down that because of this, we accept this position that, yeah, we're Samech Gula Tefillah, but not so well, but it's okay because it feels have a shus anyway. Based on that, there's two nafkaminas that the Shulchan Aruch says between the Smichas Gula Tefillah by Arvis and the Smichas Gula Tefillah by Shacharis. One is, what do you do when it comes to conflict with Tefillah B'Tzibur? If you have to choose between Smichas Gula Tefillah and Tefillah B'Tzibur, by Shacharis, Smichas Gula Tefillah wins. What does that mean, that it's a conflict with Tefillah B'Tzibur? A guy comes late to shul. You come late to shul, and the Tzibur is up to Shemayin Esrei. So you could join them, and then you're davening Shemayin Esrei with the Tzibur. That's Tefillah B'Tzibur. Or you could start from the beginning, and you're going to say Birchas Kriya Shema first, and then Shemayin Esrei. You'll get up to Shemayin Esrei 5 minutes after the Tzibur. They're going to be finished. You're not davening with the Tzibur anymore. You lost your Smichas Gula Tefillah. I'm sorry, you lost your Tefillah B'Tzibur, but you would do it to get Smichas Gula L'Tefillah. So which one is better? So the rule is that by Shacharis, you got to go in order, because Smichas Gula L'Tefillah is an absolute non-negotiable requirement. So you're Smich Gula, you start from the beginning, you're Smich Gula L'Tefillah, even though you'll be getting to Shemayin Esrei long after the Tzibur is finished, you're not going to be davening with a minion, because davening with a minion really means Shemayin Esrei with a minion. You're not going to be davening with a minion, but Smichas Gula Tefillah prevails over Tefillah B'Tzibur. But when it comes to Mariv, we don't say that, but when it comes to Mariv, Tefillah B'Tzibur prevails over Smichas Gula Tefillah, even though we pass it like a B'Echanon. You're a Ben Olam Abba if you Smichas Gula Tefillah. It's a good thing to do. But okay, a Ben Olam Abba should come on top of your shul. That's one of part of the cost of being a Ben Olam Abba. But if a Maisi came late, and now you have to, push comes to shove, you have to either give up on the Tefillah B'Tzibur or give up on the Smichas Gula Tefillah. So by Marib, we say, you give up on the Smichas Gula Tefillah, damage my Nesri with the Tzibur. So if you come and it's late, and the Tzibur is already up to, or almost up to, Shemayin Esrei, you start Shemayin Esrei with the Tzibur. And then you say Birchas Kriya Shema afterwards. The other, very briefly, the other nafkamina that Shulchan Aruch says is Legabi announcing Yalav Yafa. to make an announcement, to remind the tzibur of something that, that's a tzirich of the tefillah. So that's similar to Yirinenu, that Kaisal took the liberty of sticking it in between Gula and tefillah, even though he's supposed to be saying Gula and tefillah, but this was important, and tefillah is Aris Vashus. So announcing Al V'Yavi is also important, and you're allowed to stick it in before Shema Nesu. But by Shachris, you can't do that. By Shachris, there's no hefsek between Gula and tefillah, so we just give a clap, but we never make an announcement by Shachris. Okay, part of this we'll leave for next time. Let me just end with one last thing. In the Rabbeinu Yoina has a different teretz to this kasha of how do we reconcile the minhag of Baruch Hashem L'Olam with the Gemara's requirement of Smichas Gula Tefillah. So he says, based on what we said over before from Rabbeinu Yoina, why are we saying this all together? He says, because back in the day, Shemayin Esrei was voluntary. So people did this instead of Shemayin Esrei. So it became part of the Siddur. And then later on, they made it mandatory. So now everyone's having Shemayin Esrei, but we were already saying this, so we don't want to take it out. So now it's in there. Zerk Rabbeinu Yoina, if the reason why we're saying is because once upon a time we considered this an alternative and a replacement for Shemayin Esrei, then that makes it a tefillah arichta. It's no worse than Hashem Sfasei Tiftach. This is, don't confuse this with Taisvis. Taisvis had answered that it's not a violation of Smichas Gula Tefillah because it's a gula arichta. Rabbeinu Yoina is saying it's not a violation of Smichas Gula Tefillah because it's a tefillah arichta. And his basis is because it was once upon a time considered the tefillah. So even though now it's not the tefillah, it's just a tuffle to the tefillah, but still it's connected to tefillah. It's there to be some sort of a representation of a Shemayin Esrei. So it's basically, we do two Shemayin Esreis at night. We do a mini Shemayin Esrei and a major Shemayin Esrei. So that's all Shemayin Esrei. That's all tefillah. So that's not a violation of Smichas Gula Tefillah because it's a tefillah arichta.
It's Hashem Sosai is part of the tefillah arichta also.
Right.
Thank you.
Right.
And the Gra said no to all.
That's what I'm saying for next time.
He said what?
Yeah, he mentioned the Gra, that the Gra says not to say it. So I wanted to talk about that tonight also, but we don't have time. But I believe that I'll try to start next year.
Chabad doesn't say this stuff either.
That's right.